So a great deal of our time and our attention and even our affection gets spent on music and food and pets and travel and sports, and all of these are good things. But if you are going to believe, you will have to take time to look at the Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I got to begin right there. What does it mean to look at Jesus Christ?
Oh, well, very simply, to listen to what he has said in the scriptures, to look at what he has done, to hear what he has promised, to heed what he has commanded, and to take on board the invitations that he makes and then respond to them. You know, people don't come to faith by accident. Maybe if you take an analogy of someone who wants to be married, well, you know, they're going to cultivate a relationship over time. And that's going to involve spending time with another person. It's going to involve listening. It's going to involve speaking. A relationship is cultivated. Now, it's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to come to living faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to have to speak to him. That's what prayer is. And listen to him. And the way that we do that is by opening the Bible. That's the whole purpose of our program every day, to open the Bible so that we can hear the voice of God himself speaking to us in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. So that's what we're focused on today and every day. And it is a wonderful thing to be able to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in this marvelous 53rd chapter of Isaiah that we're focused on today.
All right. So you heard it. Open your Bible to Isaiah 53 as we look at verse 2 in a message called Our Desire. Here's Pastor Colin.
What lies behind unbelief? Well, Isaiah is telling us the first thing is that we are distracted by the wrong considerations. Second, what lies behind unbelief is that we are drawn to the wrong priorities. Look at what he says again in verse 2. He's speaking of Jesus, no form or majesty that we should look at him. Now, I was fascinated to look this week at a list of the most popular hobbies and interests in the United States of America. Based on a recent survey, here is the list in an ascending order. I'll give you the top seven. Coming in at number 7, 7th most popular interest and hobby in America, health and fitness, with 29% of respondents to this particular survey. Number 6, travel. Number 5, video games. Number 4, pets. Number 3, reading and writing. Number 2, food. And wait for it. Number 1, the most popular hobby or interest in the United States of America, according to this particular survey, music. 52% of people responding to the survey identified that. I have to say, I was absolutely amazed that sports came further down in the list, though I suspect that that was because there was more than one question about it. If you put together the rankings for watching sports and playing sports, it would have come in at number 3 on the list with 45%. But here you are. Here's a range of the things that get our attention. The priorities to which we give focus, time and affection, things that we actually choose. We have to sleep, we have to work, but here are the things that we choose to do. Here are the things that we are drawn to. Now, Isaiah is telling us why unbelief is the overwhelming response of the world to Jesus Christ. And here he tells us that one reason for this unbelief is that people do not take the time to look at Jesus. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. So a great deal of our time and our attention and even our affection gets spent on music and food and pets and travel and sports, and all of these are good things. But if you are going to believe, you will have to take time to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't come to faith simply by some vague or casual impression. So why is it that people don't spend time looking at Jesus? Well, Isaiah tells us there was nothing about him to particularly attract our attention. We're drawn to food. We're drawn to pets. We're drawn to video games, but not to Jesus Christ. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. Now, here I'd like to speak directly to the person who does not yet believe. This whole series is an invitation for you to take a serious look at Jesus Christ. Now, I really hope with all my heart that you will do this. But let's answer this question. Why should you? Why should you, as a thoughtful person, take a serious look at the Lord Jesus Christ? I have to answer that question. And let me do it by way of this personal illustration. It's more than 40 years now since I met and fell in love with my lovely wife, Karen. We were both students in London at the time. And Karen's father was a musician. He played the violin for the Academy of St. Martin's in the Fields. And that meant that he came through London quite often after touring in various countries abroad. And sometime after we had begun dating, Karen told me that her father was returning from a tour and that we could meet him when he got off the plane in London before he returned home. Now, everyone in my wife's family would agree that my father-in-law was a force to be reckoned with. And so I really wanted to make a good first impression. My dad loves cricket, Karen said to me, and he'll want to know the score when he gets off the plane. Well, cricket began as an English game, and I'm Scottish, and I had no interest in it whatsoever. But before we went to meet her father, I asked someone who would know, I mean, what's the score in the game? Oh, he said, it's 200 for four. Well, sure enough, when we met my future father-in-law, he asked what was happening in the cricket. And Karen looked at me expectantly and with some confidence. I said, it's 200 for four. To which he said, yes, but who's batting? I didn't have that rather vital piece of information, and it was abundantly clear to my father-in-law that I didn't know the first thing about his beloved game. So I decided that I needed to learn about cricket. I started to watch cricket highlights. I asked questions about it of people who knew a great deal about the game. A new interest was born. And you know, it wasn't too long before I could honestly say that I shared my father-in-law's great passion for cricket. Now, here's the question. What changed? For years, there was nothing whatsoever about cricket that attracted my attention. Nothing at all. What changed? The answer was that when I met Karen, I had something at stake. Now, you may have had very little interest in looking at Jesus. You may say to Dave, now, why should I be interested in him? And here's my answer to that question. You have something at stake here. You really do. you have a soul that will live forever. You are accountable to the God who made you. One day you will stand before him. The Bible makes that very clear. And Jesus gives you this promise that if you will confess him before men, he will confess you before his Father in heaven. If you will take your stand with him, he will take his stand with you. So there's room in your life for music and for food and for reading and for pets and for video games and for travel and for sport and for all kinds of other interests and all kinds of other hobbies. But all of these things are going to pass away. You know that. But your soul will live forever. So make room for Jesus Christ and look at him. That's what Isaiah chapter 53 is all about. People don't believe. Why? Because we're distracted by the wrong considerations and because we're drawn to the wrong priorities. But if you will look honestly at the Lord Jesus Christ as he is presented to us in the scriptures, you will soon see that he is the Savior that you need. And when you see that he is the Savior that you need, you will be well on your way to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith, and we'll continue to look at this truth in just a moment, so I hope you'll stay with us. Our message is called Our Desire, and it's part of a larger series called The Gospel According to Isaiah, taking an in-depth look at Isaiah 53. And if you want a copy of the entire series on CD, ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information at our website, openthebible.org. When you're at the website, you can also check out our blog, our daily devotional, and other resources to help you grow in your walk with Jesus. And we're able to do all these things because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a copy of a book written by Nancy Guthrie called I'm Praying for You, 40 Days of Praying the Bible for Someone Who's Suffering. Maybe you have someone in your life who's been suffering for a long time, and the question you have is, how do I keep my prayers for them fresh, especially when I've been praying time and time again about this same situation? Well, that's what this book is all about. We'd love to send you a copy of this book, I'm Praying for You, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, our website is openthebible.org, and our phone number is 1-877-673-6365. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
So we're looking at this very important question. What lies behind unbelief? Why do so many people not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And we're seeing the answers that Isaiah is giving to us here in this verse. We are distracted by the wrong considerations. We are drawn to the wrong priorities. And then one more thing that's very clear in this verse. We are driven by the wrong desires. Look at what he says. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Now, the Bible never gives us a description of the physical appearance of Jesus. Of course, artists throughout the years have tried to make an impression, but the Bible never gives us a description of the appearance of Jesus. When Isaiah says here that he had no beauty, he is simply telling us that there was nothing especially outstanding about the appearance of Jesus. He looked like any other person. If you had been walking through the market and had passed Jesus, you would not have been attracted to his appearance more than any other person that you walked past. There was not some kind of halo around his head. He really did become like us in every way, except that he was without sin. But notice that Isaiah's point here is that he had no beauty that we should desire him. So he's bringing in our desires. He's now down to the level of the will. He's telling us what we want, what we go after, what drives us. And he brings in our desires to explain why there is so much unbelief in the world. What lies behind unbelief? Answer: we are driven by the wrong desires. Now, the relationship between what we desire and what we believe is brought out very, very clearly in some words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John. Jesus said to the Pharisees who refused to believe in him, "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" Now, you see what Jesus is saying here? He knows the heart, and he says to them, "Now, the great passion of your lives is to be affirmed by each other. That's the thing you want. That's what drives you. But you're not seeking the praise or the commendation that comes from God, and that is why you don't believe." And more than that, Jesus says, it's not just why you don't believe. As long as you are driven by the desire to be affirmed by other people, as long as that's the most important thing in your life, you can't believe. You can't. "How can you believe," he says, "when you receive glory from one another?" So someone says here today, "I can't believe." And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ then from this verse would say to you, "You're right. You can't. And here's why you can't. You are driven by a passion to be affirmed by other people, and you have no great interest in the commendation that comes from God alone." Now, do you see what Isaiah is telling us in this remarkable verse? He's brought before us this extraordinary reality that the largest part of the world does not believe the greatest good news that the world has ever heard. And why is this? What lies behind unbelief? And the answer that Isaiah gives to us in this amazing verse is that behind unbelief lie these three realities: that we are distracted by the wrong considerations, we are drawn to the wrong priorities, and we are driven by the wrong desires. No one will be able to say on the last day, "It's God's fault that I didn't believe." No one will be able to say on the last day, "I never had a chance." You can't claim inability as a defense. God sees behind that. And God knows the reality. If you wanted the praise and the commendation that comes from God alone, you would seek him. And if you really were to seek him, you would find him. But you don't do that. Why? Because you are driven by the wrong desires. That's why you don't believe. Now, we've looked then at what lies behind unbelief. Let's then draw from that very briefly in these last moments what then leads to faith. And there are two things very clearly that you can do that will lead to faith. The first is to take an honest look at yourself. Ask yourself this question honestly: why do I not believe? Could it be that I've been distracted by the wrong considerations? Could it be that in my life I have been drawn to the wrong priorities? Could it be that the reason that I do not believe is that I am driven by the wrong desires? Take an honest look at yourself. And if you do, you will soon come to the conclusion that you are a sinner who needs a Savior. And when you see that, you'll be well on your way to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What can you do that will lead you to faith? You take an honest look at yourself. And here's the second thing you can do. Take an honest look at Jesus Christ. Ask yourself this question. Think about it. If it is true that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Lord of glory, who has always been at the right hand of the Father's side, could there then be anything more beautiful than this? That he should leave heaven and be born in a stable? That as a young child, he should become a refugee fleeing to another country? That he should grow up like a young plant without attracting attention to himself? That he should live in an unfashionable and despised town? That he should labor in a carpenter shop? That he should make friends with people that no one else was drawn to? That he should become the friend of sinners like us? And that he should lay down his own life as a sacrifice for his friends? Look honestly at yourself. Look honestly at the Lord Jesus Christ, and here is what you will see. You will see that you are a sinner who needs a Savior, and you will see that Jesus Christ is the Savior that you need.
That is Pastor Colin Smith with today's Open the Bible, a message called Our Desire. And maybe as you've been listening to this broadcast, you've come to that point where you recognize and realize that Jesus is the Savior that you need. If you don't know Jesus in that way, but you'd like to, well, that can all change today. I hope you'll contact us here at Open the Bible. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you, introduce you to Jesus. Our toll-free number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you can also reach us through the website openthebible.org. Our message, Our Desire, is part of a larger series called The Gospel According to Isaiah. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. One more time, our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It's your generosity that allows us to keep Pastor Cullen's teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Nancy Guthrie's book, I'm Praying for You, 40 Days of Praying the Bible for Someone Who's Suffering. And Cullen, who would you say this book is for?
Well, it's for anyone who has ever said to someone, I'm praying for you. And that surely is every Christian. We've all said to someone who's in need, or perhaps a loved one in our family, I'm praying for you. But here's the challenge. How do you keep your prayers fresh when you've been praying for someone for some time, perhaps even for many years? I mean, what are you going to do? Just keep saying, God bless them, God bless them. How do you keep your prayers fresh? And Nancy Guthrie has done a wonderful job in putting together a book that draws deeply from Scripture so that we are given 40 practical suggestions as to how you can pray for a friend, a loved one, or someone who's going through a really difficult time. It's a marvelous resource, and I think folks are going to find it very, very helpful.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, I'm Praying for You, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God."
God's word is the food that will nourish your soul. You need it every day. And Open the Bible Daily is a daily devotional that will open the Word of God and lead you to Jesus. It's available for free on our website, openthebible.org. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.